This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the August 10th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. We're here today with Mike Townsend. Mike is a transition and aging authority, a former Marine, and founder of, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, Carpe Diem Coaching.
Yeah, that's it. Wow, I think that's the first time you've said it correctly.
Well, I figured it was time to change. Anyway, so you've had interesting careers, we're going to talk today about not so much your careers, but the knowledge that it provided you. If you're talking to somebody that may consider working after retire. So what's the what would be the first thing? Okay, Mike, I'm going to say I'm thinking about retiring. That will never happen. But let's say that I did call you up. I certainly would call you first. What's your first response to that?
Well, the very first would be, are you sure that this is the right time? And I can't help you too much with that. You in particular, since you're the numbers guy, and I wouldn't doubt. But, you know, my experience has been that most everybody that I have worked with, particularly coming out of a federal agency and executing their retirement, they know pretty much to the penny what they're going to be receiving as a budget, so setting up a budget. And so it's rarely really a question of can I right now, but and so you'll notice how we framed the question for this session, which was, should I consider working once I retire? Is that something I should do? So let me just mention a couple of the criteria that I generally cover with folks who say to me, okay, Mike, my last kid's out of college or whatever the had been holding them back, and I'm eligible still. I'm very much eligible. I've talked with my boss, and we're in agreement that if I want to, I can jump out sometime later this year, and we're looking at dates and so forth. Now, it is when a person tells me that my next question is, okay, so good for you. Glad you're going to be able to do it and that you can afford it. That's wonderful. Now, what are you going to do? And and it's almost 50-50. 50% of the time, a person will say, nothing. I'm doing nothing, honey. I'm going to go home and make like a vegetable. And, you know, I think that that's sincere when they say it. I think that's what they would like to do. Usually it's based on what they have seen their own mom and dad do when they retired. And so although difficult, it's definitely a consideration then. And having said that, so that's 50%. The other 50% say to me, well, I actually want to keep working, and I will ask why. And very often it is an array. Well, Mike, I want to keep working because I think I would just go crazy sitting around the house. Just that simple. And since I'm going to do something, I might as well get paid for it. And that feels good to me and feels right. And those are the right answers, I think, in terms of going back to work. Now, there are some people who are reluctant to trust that their retirement income will be what they calculate it to be, or what somebody in human resources has helped them to calculate. And that's a fine thing that that people can you know, we have this wide range of options and of things, quote unquote, to do. The very first things, ironically, are always they're going to relax. They're going to take some time. And I think, again, everybody's different, but I certainly did that. It wasn't quite a year, but I'd say for three quarters, I moved, so I was setting up my new residence and getting acclimated, learning how it was to live there, and I think that's what a lot of people will do because the situation has changed. But anyhow, it's a question that we very specifically would like to help folks with this question: should I consider retirement or working once I retire? And again, as I have just said, it's a fairly wide array of answers. None of them are wrong. They're not wrong answers. Especially the one about, I don't want to go stir crazy. That's what. And I mean, Bob, I hear that one over and over as a reason to sort of the way to fill in the blanks is I need a job because that's what how I define myself is working in a job that takes up time of my day and my week and so forth. So it's quite understandable that we fear the unknown. We fear the possibility of sort of every thought collapsing on day two, retirement plus day two, and then we won't know where we are. We won't know who we are also. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
So can I ask you a question?
Please do.
Was somebody that would then come to you and say, okay, you, I'm sure, can guide me here. I don't know whether I should leave the job that I have or not. The hours are maybe not what I like, but the fear of the unknown and the people that I work with or for say it's all or none. So in other words, you can't come back part-time. What about that person
right,
that's out
right.
on the ledge and they just go, I don't know, and they could wind up being very unhappy staying on the job? Then they'll have an easy question to answer. But how do you make that person turn the negative into a positive?
Well, we there's a couple of ways to go about it. The first way is I ask them who their role models are. In other words, there's somebody that they know well, probably from their agency, so that many of the same questions that this person's asking have been asked before by people that they know. And if you know them well enough, I recommend, why don't you talk to them? See what they did with this feeling that it wasn't that it was such an unknown that you wanted to stay away from it, because doubtlessly they felt that way too. But ask them how they got over it. There's no magic wand to that, there's a whole world of things to do, and I explore some of those with the person and ask them, do any of these things sound like you? And I mean, simple things like arts, you know, which is hard to hear, by the way, when I say, have you ever given any thought to getting an easel out and just seeing how you do painting? How would that be? And because most of us, me included, we really couldn't have afforded to do something like that in our past. We were busy. We had to go to work in order to get paid, and we didn't really give it much thought until we're thinking about retirement. And now somebody is offering these kinds of thoughts. And I there's a fellow I've been talking to who basically is taking notes every time we talk, and says to me that when we hang up, that he is going to go directly to his wife, his kitchen cabinet, and discuss each of the options that we've thrown onto a piece of paper. He's going to discuss each one with her. And I think that that's just the way to do it. And I'll tell you why. She knows him better than probably anybody else knows him. And she knows when he's BSing. In other words, he's saying things because he thinks he should. Like, I guess I'll take up dancing because I guess that's what she would want. Maybe, but talk that through. It's if you say you're going to take up dancing, okay, what are you going to do all the rest of the days? Because that's not even a day right there. That's an evening probably.
It's probably a half hour.
And, yeah, for me it wouldn't be anything at all. But in other words, trust your close relations and talk to them about ideas that you have for your retirement and see what they think. Not that you're seeking permission. That's not it. When I retired, I did that with a group of friends of mine, seven people that I took out to brunch down on DuPont Circle one Sunday afternoon, and I told them all that the price of your brunch is I want to hear from you, and here are some things that I have in mind to do in my retirement. And I'd like to get your feedback. Feedback has nothing to do with whether they would do it. The feedback is about me. They know me, I trust them, and they did give me some really good advice to include one at one end, or an idea I threw out, and where somebody finally hemmed and hawed and said, actually, Mike, yeah, you know, that's just not you, and it's not going to be you. There's too much detail in that kind of work, and if I know anything about you, you're not a detailed person. But see, I always wanted to be, so I knew of an opportunity to do the books for my uncle's small business. And we never were able to do that, but I'm just saying that was an idea that I was thinking about, and I got great advice. In retrospect, that would have been a fiasco had I gone into that. But anyhow, I needed somebody to tell me. That's what I share that with people that I trying to encourage, that because there's no set answer, particularly to the should I consider working? And you know what a lot of people are doing? They're not taking full-time jobs. They're taking part-time jobs. And they're looking for them, and they are finding them. And that takes up at most 50% of the time of an average week. But the rest of the time, you know, sort of fill in the blank. The rest of the time, they will be spending time with with their spouse and children. They will be doing gardening work that they've always enjoyed, and now they can actually throw themselves into it. They will take up dancing. They'll do whatever it is that is also something to put onto their platter, and they can have a very satisfying life in these wonderful golden years, which is what they are.
Okay.
And so, yeah, does that answer your question?
That answers the first question, but we'll take a look at another comment. Dr. Michael Creedon, who we both work with over the years, unfortunately he's passed,
yep.
But he had this great saying, don't retire from something, retire to something. So with that in mind, let's take a short break, listen to what the good folks from WEPA can do for our listeners.
Life insurance is a conversation worth having. As a civilian federal employee, you have access to exclusive coverage from WEPA, the life insurance choice of over 46,000 feds and their families. With WEPA Group Term Life Insurance, you can apply for up to $1.5 million in portable coverage at a competitive price. Last year, the average Fed who switched saved $375. WEPA is a proud sponsor of For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WEPA has been insuring the future of feds and their families for more than 75 years. To learn more about life insurance for feds by feds, visit WAEPA.org today.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today with Mike Townsend. Mike is a transition and aging authority, founder of Carpe Diem Coaching. Did I do it right, Mike?
That was it.
Oh.
Two in a row.
I can
Not
retire.
Bad.
All righty. So, during the break, we were talking about X, Y, but now we need to go to Z.
Sure. And is that...
No, I mean...
are you thinking of...
No, I don't... We stopped at a particular point, and I knew that you were, could keep going, but we have to do the two spots we do, so continuation
sure.
of what we did before.
No, I get it. Sure. Well, I think that the where I was with that was to first of all, I agree with Michael Creedon when he says don't run away from something, run to something. Or that's how I would phrase it. He said it a little differently. But anyhow, I think it's almost always going to be a mistake. And we are on a little bit different topic, but I think it's critical to explore just for a moment the fact that there are people who I have met, and I'm sure every listener has met people like this, who they are so disgruntled, so disappointed that their agency in some way is failing them or not living up to their mandate, et cetera, et cetera, that, or they have a boss who is new and doesn't know what they're doing and is turning the office upside down for no reason. Whatever, and these are all things I've heard. And I've heard people then say, the caveat is, so I guess I'll retire. So I guess I'll take retirement. And in comes the Creedon Townsend, I threw myself in with him just like that. comes the advice to don't leave until you know why, until you not only know why you're leaving, but know what you're going to. What is it that you, and you need to do some work to get to that. And again, as I described, a lot of that work can be and should be in conjunction with others who know us and who can help us think of things that we just wouldn't think of because we've been doing what we're doing for so long. And in most cases, it's a difficult transition. So that being said, let me get back to the idea that the next thing that we do isn't always a mystery. Sometimes it is, but it isn't always. What I mean is, I've had people say to me, okay, Mike, I'm going to be retiring this time next year, and here's what I want to do, because I've always wanted to do this, and I didn't have a chance in government. It's not really the function of government. The most recent one was a wonderful lady from an agency downtown, I'll just say. And she had a desire to own and operate a nail salon. And, of course, I'm thinking, well, don't you have to have a hammer? Anyhow, she said, yeah, my sister and I, who also is retiring from a different agency here in town, but we've been planning this, talking about this. We go to the same salon now, and we are jealous of the people who work there because we would love to do something like that. And so that's why that's what I'm running to as I retire. And you know what? I think she'll, no matter what happens, she'll be satisfied. And the reason I say that is that I did give her some pointers about how to touch base with the Small Business Administration, and they have classes that they run in conjunction with, I believe it's Better Business Bureau. Anyhow, but they run classes for people who are thinking about going into business.
Those are very good classes, by the way. They're
thorough. Yeah, absolutely. So that's a place to start. And I'm just using her as an example, though. In her case, she had known for some time what the years remaining of her life would be fun doing. There's no job like that in the government that I know of, fixing nails, but that she, again, with her sister, were going to put some money together and get going, and they have been taking notes for quite some time about how to do that. And I wished her well, because I really can't help at that point. Although I gave her my card and said, if you ever want to call me back and tell me that you can't stand it, then I may have some ideas for you. So, yeah, it was a really nice, that was a great idea to have tacked on at the end of her life. You know, and the only caution I gave her was to be careful about your investment, which is why I suggested taking these classes that the SBA offers. Because they, Small Business Administration, because they go into detail for anybody who brings in an actual idea, they go into detail about how much cash you need to have up front, what are sources for additional cash, where you don't have to pay it back, and so forth, and she that she wouldn't do what is tempting to all of us, which is to go into personal savings. I'll keep it going with personal savings, and I'm not saying it's wrong to do that, but I learned from my years trying to get two businesses off the ground. One thing I learned was that there has to be an amount of money that it's going to take, and if I can't raise that, then I need not do it, because otherwise it's going to run me out of house and home, and actually did for me, And that's a cautionary tale to say be careful what you wish for in this area.
From a business perspective, I'm not so sure people that want to go into a particular line of work because either they're good at it or they have knowledge of how that business would operate. But they are not always so inclined to understand the word overhead. So if you're going to start the business, it's going to have overhead. Telephone is not big overhead, but a storefront is, or maybe your friends with the nail salon, maybe there's a place within a haircuttery type, I didn't mean haircuttery, the company, and test it out. On somebody else's dime, you're going to provide a service. Probably it's not going to be greatly rewarding at the get-go, but you'll understand what it takes to make the dollar, to deal with people, and then maybe branch out. I'd probably suggest not doing it at home. There's nothing wrong with having an office in the home, but when you invite public into your home, not that they're going to steal anything, but now somebody's invading your space. So a business should be that. It's a business, doesn't need to be cold, but it probably shouldn't be out of the house unless you're not seeing clients. If you're not seeing clients, that's fine. Anyway, just that's the accountant side.
No, good. No, those are good ideas. And so that's just one idea that people have had. And I've, people also, a lot of the people I meet coming out of the government, are very altruistic, meaning that they're identifying volunteerism and places to put perhaps some investment donations and that sort of thing, because it will give them pleasure to do it, and goes along with their perception, anyhow, of who they are and who they want to remain, even out in the cold, cruel world, they're bounding. And many of those folks who do that, again, a lot of thought has to go into it, a lot of planning has to go into it, but those kinds of jobs are there with and without pay. And most of the nonprofits, which are basically mostly charitable organizations, not entirely, but anyhow, but most of them rely on the fact that they can get good people for very little pay who will do an excellent job for them, and it's a win-win.
Let me ask you a question. With regard to the many people you've counseled over the years, how many have come in saying, I want to do X? And after about 15 minutes, you form an opinion mentally. You don't verbalize it. I don't think you should do X. You seem to be more suited maybe to Y. So that's pretty hard to say to somebody. But how many repeat customers come back and say, you know, I was off base. What do you think I should do?
Yeah. I'll tell you, after stumbling over that several times, I instead switch gears and I send them to a couple of websites that have occupational assessments, and one of which is specifically aimed at entrepreneurism, and another at working for a nonprofit, and so forth. And it comes back with really good data. They're not free anymore; they used to be, but they're under $50. These tests, and they are a test. You take them on the website, and I suggest bringing a fresh pot of coffee with you and considering each answer well and see what it tells you. Then what happens is they bring me the results and they say, Mike, you know, I know I was talking about this, but look what the test says. It says that's the lowest quartile for me is to be in business by myself. And usually there'll be an explanation, so I'll read that and I'll say, well, imagine. I think we ought to stick with this, don't you? I mean, it's objective feedback. So I, for one, let's talk about the feedback. But it doesn't have to become me versus them, and which I just don't want to do. So you're right. There are times when
they don't always
get a little bit sketchy.
Think it through, and probably
yes.
My experience certainly different than yours. Mine is, you know, financial. Not that yours isn't important financially, but that's all I see. I don't see the rest. And in other words, if you're going to sell something, including your time, probably the best place to go is something that would utilize your prior service within the federal government. Or you go back to work
right.
Part-time for the federal government because that's what you do, and why learn something else? Somebody else says, listen, there was nothing wrong with my job, but after, you know, 30 years, 35 years, 28, whatever the number is, I want to do something else because I've seen, et cetera. The other, the people retiring, if you will, in the late 50s, 60s or so, the marketplace, I think, demands a different skill set than maybe some of us might have with regards to computers and the like. So sometimes I guess it's good not only to have this pedigree, but it's been introduced to the current century.
Well, I think you're right. I will say that, there's a fear that exists for almost every elder who looks for a job, and when I say elder, I mean 65 and above, as they look for a job, because they make an assumption up front that either for the reason you just suggested or for bias, a true bias, that they won't be seriously considered by anybody, no matter what they do or what they claim to know, and that it's simply not feasible to look for another job. A lot of people have shared that feeling with me. I understand the feeling. I also know enough exceptions to that rule that they're trying to say it's a rule, but I understand. But there are enough people who are their age and more who have gotten job offers because the employer valued something else than where most of their employees are wonder kids who are attached to their cell phones and they are, you know, a mile a minute working on their work. And I'm thinking of a particular place where I worked for a year and a half just to help them get settled, to sell themselves and sell the company. And one thing I found was that the senior management of that company was all older. They were all in their 60s or 70s. And so as I recruited for certain jobs, they preferred the ones that had, as the one person used to say, let's talk to this guy. Looks like he has some mileage. That's what I want. I want somebody we don't have to teach everything to on day one, and who will pick it up and is self-motivated and so forth, which is not what they're finding with younger people. So So I'm saying it where there are exceptions to even the most deeply seated fear. If there are exceptions, then the fear is not a rule. It am I saying it doesn't exist? That there's no bias? Of course not. Of course there is. It's just not universal.
Okay,
it can actually work the other way for you.
All right, we got a bias here, Michael. It's called a NITP commercial. So why don't we take a minute or so and let the good folks listening know a little bit more about the company that does these retirement seminars.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to the final leg of the August 10th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show with Mike Townsend. Mike is a transition and aging authority, founder of Carpe Diem Coaching. And Mike, Andrew just put up three fingers and said, way to go, you finally pronounced somebody's name right. Anyway, so we have about 15 minutes left. I'm sure we'll have no issue with regards to time. But interesting email came in. It said, some individuals will have no choice and will need to go back to work with a program that includes Social Security. Now, this I think I know this individual. He's a retired federal employee. With programs being cut, et cetera. So if they have no choice, and most likely if they were kind of sort of let go, do they look to other agencies? Do they how many people look to go back into the government with your good guidance? How many say, no, I'm going to start my own business? Or somebody else say, I want to be a Walmart greeter. I just want to talk to people.
Yeah, gee, a little bit of all those. however, it's not unusual at all for people to retirees coming out of federal employment. It's not unusual at all for them to say to me, you know, I'd like to stay in the government if I can get. Even on a part-time basis, I can still get some credits, further credits toward my retirement, and I'd like to do that. I'm really gonna have to do that because it's what I will be getting won't be enough. And that being said, how do I go about it? And of course, that's a question that NITP also has workshops to talk about the how and the where and so forth of looking for jobs in and out of federal employment. Now, however, I guess the one thing that jumps out at me every time that somebody says this is it's a nice coincidence that a number of agencies, I can't give you a full number because I only know what people have told me anecdotally in the workshops that I've delivered for NITP, but what they say is that their agency or an agency they know of is desirous of experienced part-time employment or employees. If it's their own, then you can see the advantage for the agency itself, because people who stay on, they have a history with the agency, and therefore they're preserving the way how did we arrive at certain decisions, and why is it that we do things a certain way rather than some other way, and things are not always fully documented. So, but if we ask Joe, well, Joe was here when that was first done, and maybe he'll remember why. So, anyhow, that's one advantage, but it's a real advantage for the individuals. It really is, because they are allowed under that to enhance their retirement when the time comes. And when they actually have to, and they, in the meantime, will be. Oh, and if it's their own agency, well, my understanding is they can shop around. Meaning, if there are so many billets in another division, and if that looks and sounds interesting to them, they don't have to stay in the same division that they've been in for 10 or 15 years, they can switch to another and do the part-time thing. There's an agency that's calling it the Emeritus Program, and that's a wonderful way to look at it, that these are people who decide to stay, and the government has so many advantages and so many ways for them to help. I guess I'd throw in one final thing. Colleagues of mine who are filling job openings within federal agencies, they tell me that the pipeline of resumes and people who are interested, it has gotten, in some agencies, is down to almost nothing. And in other agencies, they, in the more sexy ones, I guess, they still have a good pipeline. But and then along comes a person who is in the agency, knows the protocols, has a security clearance already. And it's a no must, no fuss to get them into it, and it does a lot for the person, the individual. So I think that those are reasonable expectations, and that agencies, not all, but some agencies, are way ahead of you on that, and they are hoping for more and more people to be willing to stay longer if they can only make it more attractive to do so. So
I would think that if somebody's on the fence, and I'm sure you've talked to these folks, they have a skill set that's been honed for 25, 30, 35, maybe 40 years. And that skill set is probably best utilized within the federal sector unless it's certain intel work, for example, high demand outside the federal sector. But sometimes this individual might not be in that high demand, but they have this expertise. But they might be a little shy. Have you talked to those folks that, you know, I want to do something, but I'm not so good on an interview, or I'm not so good calling a friend of a friend? How do they get over that hurdle?
Oh, yeah.
But they do want to work.
Right. Well, for them, it's going to be the friend of a friend, most likely, which is the way they'll hear about an opportunity and have the first level friend submit their resume for them, and that's. There are people who are not shy at all, but if this person is, it should be It's a matter of, and you know that, yeah, I know that there are books on this topic, but I would highly recommend signing up. Boy, this is cheesy, but signing up for one of NITP's courses, because they teach a very specific course in how to change within the government, and they address in those the reluctances that people have, and they give they give good ideas on what you can do to relax a little bit and understand that that it's all very human nature. And so I would never say to somebody, well, you have to stop being so shy. To me, that's a ridiculous statement, because they're shy in most cases based on external learning over a lifetime. So, yeah, you don't change that by saying, well, don't be, you're a schmuck. Go ahead, apply. No, no, doesn't work like that. And in a safe place, like sitting in a workshop, it's easy to kind of pull back into yourself and so and get the information that you need. And they will talk about that. And you can talk or not talk, it's up to you. Anyhow.
Okay. So, I need to ask you a question, because I didn't ask it earlier. How does somebody contact you? What's your contact site?
My website is www.mybestdayistoday.com.
Do that again, please.
And you can see www.mybestdayistoday.com.
Very good. Thank you.
I couldn't believe that wasn't already taken. So, yeah, and it's a, you know, one thing that does occur to me that may be of interest that I made a note to myself earlier, and that would be a question that I've heard many times. If I hold a security clearance, can I keep it active, perhaps in order to use it for my retirement job? Good question. That's a very appropriate question. If you have a security clearance, when does it go dark? And in some agencies, in the one that I worked in, it went dark before I got to the parking lot on my last day. But there are ways to secure the clearance for some few months while you're interviewing for a job. And I'll tell you how you find out about that. Go to your agency's security office and ask anybody there this question. And the reason I say go to yours, and I'm not trying to give an answer, is that it differs from one agency to another. Some are more strict about it than others, and so find out. The truth is that you need to hear it from your own people, and then you'll know really what to do. Yeah.
Very. That's great advice, and I found, when I've only had two jobs my whole life, a lot of goofy jobs, but two real jobs. and if you were telling me I was going to work in an accounting firm during taxes, I'd say you need to have your head examined. And what did I do? I became an accountant doing tax work in an accounting firm, and it's been terrific. So it's just giving that a chance. Or in today's world, if somebody does want to go to work maybe they go to work at something they are aware of but not necessarily great at. So they might have this passion to become great at this. Did you ever counsel somebody like that, and you think to yourself, why would you want to do something else other than what you're doing? Because what you're doing is providing them, you know, pleasure during the day working and a nice income stream. Why would you want to switch that?
Everybody's different. Everybody has their reasons for moving and making the change, either into another job or into full retirement, where you are going on trips, and I guess people go on trips still. I don't know, but where you're doing all the retirement things of avocations, and you know, one comment I would make that I usually make to audiences that I am talking to in person, which is that, you know, in the area of vocation, many of us ended up in jobs. You actually gave an example of it for yourself just now, Bob. But that we started out to do one thing and then ended up doing something else.
Okay.
That's not unusual at all.
Okay, I have to butt in here, Andrew, saying you have less than a minute, so finish your thought. Sorry.
Okay, retirement is perhaps an opportunity to do the things that we had wanted to do. You wanted to visit Native American tribes, go for it. You have the time now, and that can be very fulfilling. Anyhow, that's...
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for the time.
It's always a pleasure, Mike. Take good care. And
yeah,
listeners,
for me,
thanks for
I
listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.